Eric Gessner with you. We are the Now and Then Show, and right now on the line, as promised, we have Travis Larson and Jennifer Young from the Travis Larson Band. Travis, it's so great to talk to you tonight. Thanks a lot for coming back on the show. How are you?
Oh, very well, thank you. Thank you for having us on, and I will give Jennifer an opportunity to say hi here.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Here.
Yeah, great. So let's start. Travis, you've been on the show quite a bit, so let's start with Jennifer here. Jennifer, you guys have a new album out called Annika, or is it Annika?
We're going with Annika, seeing as how we're Californians, and it would be pronounced that way by us anyway. So
totally.
Annika.
Yeah. So what is...
Like Baston.
Baston, right. So what does it mean?
It's actually a Pali word that means impermanence, and it's just pretty much the concept of, you know, everything changes and not everything is permanent. And it was just a kind of a wide concept for us on this record because we had gone through a lot of changes in our lives, and it just seemed to fit as well as with the artwork and things. So maybe a little heady, but, you know, our progressive fans tend to like that kind of nerdy stuff, you know?
Yeah, we do. That's right. We do like that nerdy stuff. My guests tonight, Travis Larson and Jennifer Young from the Travis Larson Band. So why don't you tell us about the recording process here, Travis? You've got, you guys put this all together, and how long did the album take you, I guess?
I started writing for the record around October 1st, so we're almost exactly a year down the road at this point, and it's the biggest production we've done on a record for sure, as far as layering and not being afraid to, you know, when we started out in this band, it was always, how are we going to reproduce this live? And as things have gone on, you have enough material to where you don't necessarily always have to produce it live because you have enough of a backlog, but technology's moved on now too to where there's different ways to pull things off live as a trio. You know, we've talked about this before, big Rush fans and fans of technology to make the band sound fuller. So around October 1st, I started writing for it. This is the first album that I've actually ever demoed with a MIDI program, which is, you know, for if you want to get really geeky out there, basically you're using... you know, for the demoing process, artificial voices and basically almost writing music like you would in the old days on staff paper, but you're writing it in a computer, and you can hear generally how it would sound before you actually turn it into a record with real musicians. So this is the first record where I've attempted that, and I was able to get, you know, a little more involved, even more than in the past records, with arrangements and, you know, strange time signatures overlapping other strange time signatures and things like that. So you could basically compose something that you couldn't necessarily play yet. And then the band went in and started learning the record after the new year. So we went out and did a short tour in January with Dave LaRue's solo band and an East Coast progressive band called Magic Elf. And then we did the NAMM show that we do every year. And once we got through that whole thing, then we started seriously honing in on making the record and actually getting it onto tape, because I'm an old guy, but capturing it. We'll call it capturing it. How about that?
Capturing it. That's right. So I love the artwork on the album, Travis and Jennifer. Jennifer, did you do the artwork, or was that you, Travis, or how'd that work out for you?
Jennifer's generally in charge of all the visuals. That's, you know, we've been a production team on every record since the first one, and so she was completely in charge of that on this record and many, many records, actually.
Yeah, it's a cool cover. I like that. It looks like something that came off the front of a car. Is that right? Or
it is, actually.
It looks familiar.
I took a trip to a junkyard up in Northern California and photographed a lot of the old cars up there, and it is a hood ornament from a 1956 Buick Super. It really spoke to me in a lot of different ways. Just the airplane itself is a metaphor for a lot of different things, you know, in a lot of people's lives. And and then all of the surrounding rust and things. So, yeah, it is just a hood ornament from an old car out of a junkyard. And same with all of the other images in the album. They're different bits and pieces of the same car, mostly. So, yeah, it was a really, really intense experience, actually, and kind of that's how the concept kind of was born, looking at all of these old cars and how, knowing that they used to be something really treasured and cherished back when they were new, and then here they sat, and it kind of, you know, is a metaphor for a lot of things in life, I think.
It's cool.
One of the things that was going on over the last couple of years, too, is, you know, aside from just Jen mentioned, you know, personal changes in our lives and things like that as we get older, but we've lost a lot of our heroes in the last couple of years, you know, musical heroes, and that's a big change. You know, obviously, you know, there's some really well-known ones out there. We lost David Bowie and you know, all kinds of well-known influential musicians. We lost Keith Emerson recently, and that was kind of right when we were starting this record. And we were actually on this tour supposed to do a show with Keith Emerson, which didn't come to be because, you know, he's no longer with us. So just also thinking about all those kinds of things as far as change in life. And we started throwing around the idea of, with the car concept, something that was once brand new and cutting edge eventually kind of becomes, you know, this different thing, and things kind of, you know, morph into different, you know, like obviously with the car analogy, you've got these things that are sitting stagnant in a junkyard that are slowly, you know, disappearing. But at one time they were coming off an assembly line and they were the cutting edge state-of-the-art technology, right? So that was one of the ideas we were throwing around, kind of based on all the change going on in the world right now.
All right, that's great. So let's stop right there. Let's do another segment, but let's go ahead and play a tune here off Annika. And the first tune on here is called Annika. Why don't you talk about this song and what this one, you talked about what Annika means, but what, I guess, why did you name this song Annika, I guess, if you can figure
this,
that one out.
This was one of our favorites off the record, just a good vibe and a really fun song to play live, but just musically speaking, the way I've kind of described this as kind of a, you know, a homage to our influences. And, you know, I know we haven't lost any of the members in Rush, but we were on tour last year when Rush was doing their farewell tour. And one of the things that happened was we played Toronto the night they played their last show in Los Angeles, and it was our first show in Toronto. And so it was just kind of a weird little private full circle moment for us, you know. And so this song has got some very obvious Rush influence. I kind of describe it as a cross between Rush Power Windows and the Dixie Dregs. So that's my description of the Annika, the song.
Nice. All right. Well, I love both those songs, so let's track it right here. Here's Annika, my guest tonight, Travis Larson and Jennifer Young on the Now and Then show. We'll be back with them after this. The Travis Larson Band right here on the Now and Then show. Annika, from their debut, or on the new album, actually, Annika, just came out here. And you can check it all out on, let's see, TravisLarsonBand.com. Yes, you can. And all the tour dates are there. You guys are going on quite a tour here, aren't you?
Yeah, we just did 3 warm-up shows in California. And then in a couple of days, we start driving to Memphis, I believe. And we're going to do a tour with Andy Timmons, which we've been talking about with Andy for years. So it's really fun to finally get that together. And he's a great guy and a great guitar player. And it's going to be really fun to jam with him. I know you're kind of a classic rock guy. You'll remember him from Danger, Danger, but he's got an amazing solo career as well. And then after that, we're doing a little tour of the Northeast with Mike Keneally, who's Frank Zappa's last stunt guitarist before he passed away. And Keneally also has played with Steve Vai. He's in Joe Satriani's current band and does a lot of amazing stuff.
He's amazing. I saw him last time he came through with Satriani, the last couple times here through Salem. And that guy's incredible. Incredible guitarist.
If you ever want to see, like, my first exposure to him was when he was with Steve Vai's band the first time, and you check out the first Satriani G3 video from back in the mid-90s, and you'll see some great stuff with Keneally Ware. I mean, he's just amazing. He's an amazing keyboard player, amazing guitar player. He was just holding his own neck and neck with everything Vai was doing, and he's a sweet, sweetheart of a man, too. Just a really, really good human being. Came out to hang with us when we just played in San Diego last Saturday. So
nice. So are you guys going to get to the Northwest here this year at all, or next year?
Next year. I'm working on maybe one little solo thing in the Seattle area, potentially, but we'll see if that happens. But as far as TLB doing a serious run of dates, it's going to be next year, and probably spring, early summer, something like that. Keep your eye out for it, because once it starts getting, you know, some serious weather up there, we shy away from you guys. I'm sorry.
We don't have that much serious weather here, just rain.
Well, yeah, but we have to get through, you know, the mountains and Seattle and all that kind of stuff. And we did a run with the Aristocrats 2 years ago in January where we drove 2 10-hour days to get to Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Black ice. And if we can avoid that kind of thing, we try.
Yeah, I would avoid that as well. So you guys, you travel in a van with a trailer, or how do you guys normally travel?
We travel in a van, which is funny because if you check out our Facebook, we just did a farewell homage to the van that we've lovingly dubbed the Death Star.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. So it's been time to upgrade. We're a van band, and we've never, you know, it's obviously playing this music. There is a budget, and we're not a bus band, but also we have done bus tours, and at the end of the day, no matter how fancy it is, a bus is still a bus, and it's good every night to all get out of the vehicle and get into a room and have a little bit of your own space and a good shower. So we've kind of just kept that over the years and, you know, tried to make it. Touring is as much about, you know, sociologically dealing with each other as it is loving each other and playing music together. So if you're on a bus, you're always on a bus.
So Jennifer, are you still friends with these guys after a tour, or is it like game over?
Well, yeah, it's game over.
Nice. I imagine
it's interesting. Like on the Aristocrats tour last year, it was me and 9 guys, I think it was. And
oh boy.
Yeah. After 2 months solid of that, I was pretty much done and ready to, be a hermit in the mountains for the next 2 months. But it's good while it's happening. Yeah, it's always good. And we all treat each other really well. And we're, you know, it's a very good family.
Is that the key? What do you have to do here when you're in that close quarters for an extended tour like you guys are doing? You just have to, like, just get along and pick your battles, or just joke around a lot and everything's fun time? What's the key, I guess, to getting along?
Well, there's obviously you have each other's backs, because when you're in those situations, you know, there's a little bit of it's you, I don't want to say it's you against the world, but it's all us kind of working towards a common goal, and it is a team, you know. But the old van was black, so there was a lot of A-team jokes back in the day.
I pity the fool.
But anyway, yeah, and we try really hard to keep the keep the camaraderie and the humor up as much as we can, and we've gotten pretty good at that over the years. And or else it's just quiet, you know. And if everybody's time for quiet time, you put your earbuds in and you just respect each other's space.
Cool. All right. Yeah. So, do you guys how about going out to eat or restaurants? When you guys do that, do you guys kind of take turns picking, or you get on a website and try to figure out, get on Zagat or something?
In place for the day. That's what we do.
There you go. Whatever coupon you have at the moment.
We have some dietary changes in this band, though, over the years. Like, you know, there's some people are eating healthier than others. And
sure.
So we generally have to respect that.
Yeah.
And obviously me saying that means I have to respect that, because I have a history of people bringing me donuts and stuff after gigs. So I do take really good care of myself, but I'm not quite as strict as, say,
you know. Can say it. You can say
Well, I was going to say the athlete of the band, which would be the drummer who's not here, but Jennifer is also, she takes really good care of herself, you know, as far as eating goes.
But that's about it.
Hey, so... Hey, Jennifer, I talked to Dave LaRue here. Was it early last year when the Z7 album came out? And he told me that you guys, when you guys play together, you do a little jam together and get to play with Dave LaRue. Yeah. And he's just, he's been on my show four times, and he's just a stellar guy, a lot of fun to talk to. And he hooked me up getting Steve Morris on the show and Casey McPherson and just a great guy. Every time I talk to him or get a hold of him via email, he answers the bell, and it's so much fun. So I bet you guys have a blast doing that, huh?
Yeah, he has a blast torturing me with doing that. We do school days together, and you know, he's Dave LaRue. He's my hero, basically. And
sure.
Getting up on stage with him, and he's laughing at me the whole time because he knows it, and it's challenging. It's fun. He's always very gracious. But yeah, we do have a good time, even though I usually botch it and whatever. who can stand up to Dave LaRue, you know?
Yeah, he had nothing
but
nice.
I literally talked to Dave today. And,
oh, did you? Good.
Very soon we will be posting some Florida dates that we're going to do together. We're just still sussing a few things out, but there will be some Florida stuff going on, because we're getting asked a lot online, why not Florida? I promise there is some Florida stuff going on. It's just not 100% concrete yet.
Sure. Yeah, Dave is a great guy. He lives down there in Florida. Steve Morris does, too. And I didn't know this. Steve Morris has a farm, and he actually raises hay, and he sells it to his neighbors. I had no idea until he came out and talked about it.
You always got to keep that little thing in your back pocket. You're playing music, right?
Yeah, and he works on his own tractors, too, which is amazing, too. His own farm equipment, which is, you know, with those hands, you know, million-dollar hands, right?
Yeah, Steve, got to be careful about that. We worry about his hands.
No doubt.
Yeah, you know, Steve is an amazing guy. He's a guy that, I mean, you know, he's a pilot and all that kind of stuff. He's one of those guys that they always say, you know, when you get older, as long as you keep your brain active, that's like the number one thing. And that guy is going to be solid for, I mean, he's going to definitely get into triple digits, because he's just one of those guys, you know?
Yeah, he's pretty busy. There's a few guys in music that are have irons in just about every fire, and he's one of them.
Yeah, there's certain people I would say the more they're in the music business, the shorter their life is going to be. Steve's not one of those guys. Steve is a guy that really does it right, and he's really been a mentor to us over the years as far as how to do it, and that's one of the reasons we're still even a band, is understanding, especially playing non-commercial music. You know, in America, we always talk about that the fact that you really do have to, like, count your pennies, and you do have to keep your overhead as low as possible, and be always thinking like a musician to be able to do this full-time like we do it, especially with, you know, instrumentals, and it's a niche audience. And he was, like, the template for that, at least for us.
You sure.
Know? I mean, he was a guy, he was the only guy flying to club shows back when he started out. I mean, he's just learned how to do it every step of the way and make it the best it can be for the level that it's at. And so that was a big lesson to us.
That is a great lesson. So what do you say we do another song here? I love this album, and I've got several picked out, but I want you guys to pick one out. I've got Mercy Springs lined up, but if you want to do something else, that's fine with me.
Oh, do that. That's one of everybody's favorites.
It's a beautiful song. Let's play that.
Thank you.
My guest tonight, Jennifer Young and Travis Larson from the Travis Larson Band. Of course, Travis has been on the show now, what, three or four times now, I think? You're almost a show contributor.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm on here quite a bit, and I always enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, it's fun. We have a great time. So, Jennifer, you're always welcome to come back on anytime. So,
well, thank you.
Anytime you want to call up, and I do this thing every Thursday night, so... tell you what, let's track Mercy Springs. We'll be back with these guys in just a minute. Here's a brand new one from the Travis Larson Band, and it's called Mercy Springs. And you are listening to the Now and Then Show. Beautiful song there. Mercy Springs, that one is called. Annika is the name of the album. the Travis Larson Band right here on the Now and Then Show. Great stuff there, guys. Congratulations. Love that one. I played that one last week, and beautiful song there.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you picked that one out. That's definitely a favorite of our circle here, and I've had a lot of good feedback from a lot of folks via email about that tune. And it's interesting about that song. It's the lead guitar performance of that is from the original demo. So it wasn't like I demoed the thing and then went back and learned it and cleaned it up. There's a couple of licks at the end I cleaned up, but for the most part, that's the very first time any of that lead guitar part was played, and the first time it was made up. Like, you're actually hearing the first performance of that, and then I added those little harmonies, and then, you know, basically the rest of the music, which was raw chords on the demo, has been, you know, polished, and the band performed it, you know, the demo, it was all just electronic demo music to play to, but that's one of two songs I've ever done that with, and a lot of emotion going on in that song.
That's great. So Jennifer, do you when you play, put your bass parts down, is like he was saying that you have electronic parts and then you play that with the rhythm section, or how does that work where you come in?
Typically, Travis will kind of sketch out the chord changes and maybe kind of the rhythm he's thinking. He'll usually put down some drums, you know, along the lines of what he's thinking for, yes, rhythmically, and match the bass really simplistically to that with MIDI bass. And then I will come in and sort of shape it and refine it. Actually, there was quite a bit of changes on the bass parts rhythmically from what he would put down, because he's just, you know, sketching. And then I would fill in what I heard, or maybe even different approaches. I think there was one song where he had the part, you know, as a picked finger style part, and I ended up doing it like a slap style. And so that changes the vibe a little bit. But, yeah, I definitely get in there and kind of add my own very, very many opinions to it.
Well, and Jennifer has arrangement opinions on stuff sometimes as well, where, you know,
all time.
This part should be three times instead of two times, or whatever, those kinds of things. So that kind of stuff goes on. You know, it's become much easier to deal with those kinds of changes and discussions over the years, because in the early days, you know, when you were all in a room as a band working on that stuff from the ground up, you're dealing with a lot more of, you know, you could love everybody's ideas, but you're still dealing with just the effort of somebody in the band has to learn the part before they can play it. Somebody else is waiting for them to figure it out. Then they want to change something. And it's a lot more wear and tear on your psyche to do that stuff. So kind of using technology to be able to get the ideas refined before we actually track the record has taken a lot of the, it's made some of the ditch digging of the record a little easier on us, as far as, you know, having ideas to be able to do that. Rush did the same thing years ago. You know, they started out in the studio together, always working on things as a group and from the ground up. And then as technology started to get better, you know, we're all trying to use it for good and not evil, so to speak, where you can put it towards, you know, creating more complex arrangements and things before you can actually perform them. As long as you're not doing, you know, like I've said before, like some of the youthful pop artists of our generation who can't necessarily even sing, and they make it sound like they can to the world. That's never been our thing. So.
Right. Yeah. That drives me crazy too, for sure. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking to Travis Larson and Jennifer Young from the Travis Larson Band. They've got a pretty big tour coming up here. And I just noticed you were talking about playing down at the NAMM show, and then you're playing in Orange, California on January 23rd, and I may be going down to the NAMM show this year. So if I'm doing that, I'm definitely going to come down and see you at Chaser's Lounge, if I can make that happen.
Are you looking at last year's?
Oh, am I? Am I looking at last year? Oh,
or,
maybe
or
I
not
am.
Not last year, but last January.
Maybe I was. Okay. Yeah,
you might
oops.
Be looking at last January. Yeah,
I was. Yep, yep, my fault. Yeah, sorry about that. I got lost in what I was doing.
We are going to be playing down in January down in Southern California at the NAMM show, and we are going to be doing a tour of California in January.
Nice.
But the Northwest, you guys will see us a little bit later than that.
Sure. That'd be great. Yeah, it'll be fun to see you for sure if I can make it happen. I'm going to try to go to the NAMM show. Well, if it works out, I'm going to go. I'm going to get in through Rickenbacker Guitars because one of the family members is one of the owners there. So that will be so much fun. So
I can't talk too much about it, but I will tell you that we're 99% sure we're doing a really worthy-to-see show the Saturday of the NAMM show in Anaheim, a few blocks from the NAMM show, with a whole lot of heavy-hitting guitar players. So keep an eye out for that.
I will do that. I will do that for sure. So tell you what, let's do another tune here. But before we do that, how do we get a hold of you guys if we want to check you out? Like, it looks like TravisLarsonBand.com. Everything's there, right?
That's the best way because everything's on the website. Travis Larson, L-A-R-S-O-N, band.com. Or you can find us just by searching Facebook. We all have our independent pages, and then there's a Travis Larson Band page. And, you know, Twitter, all that stuff. The Gram, as our social director likes to call it.
Or Insta, as the kids like to call it.
Nice. Yeah, the social director. Sure, the band director. All right. So great. Yeah, Jennifer, looks. I was going to like your page, but it doesn't look like I just have to follow it or something. Okay.
Well, that's because she has the artist wall around her. She doesn't actually have a personal page. She's like...
Because I'm not personable.
Is that it?
She's from parts unknown. She's like one of those wrestlers back in the 80s where nobody really knows much about her. She just shows up and gets in the van and then she disappears.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So how did you guys meet?
Jennifer and I actually went to high school together.
Okay.
So we make the joke all the time. We're each other's Alex and Getty. We're, you know, she's my oldest and dearest friend, and we've been in this band.
Are you calling me old right now?
Oh, boy.
Are you doing?
I think we're both kind of old now.
Oh,
but.
Okay.
we've been playing music together since the late 80s.
89.
Wow.
The very first, I may have talked about this on the show before, but the first tune we ever tried to work up together was Rush's Xanadu. Which is not the simplest tune for a couple of 17-year-olds to try and work out, you know.
15.
15 for her. I was a little older. I was slower in school. She was advanced.
There you go.
But, she's, you know, my production partner, my bandmate, and my best friend for 25, 27, 8 years. I don't know. A long time. And, we're still getting in this van together, and Dale's the new guy. He's been in the band for 20 years this year. So.
The new guy in the band. Nice.
Yeah, and Rush has made that joke about Neil, too. It's like, it's like, even though he's been in the band for 20 years, he's still the new guy.
You know, you were talking about Rush. You were talking about Rush. I wouldn't count them out yet. I still think there's an album in there, and I don't know if you saw it, but I posted earlier tonight, or yesterday, Alex Lifeson shows up on Rick Emmett's new song, Human Race, and I played it earlier tonight. And
I hope you're right. I kind of don't think you are in a true Rush sense, in that I think Neil truly is kind of retired and going in, you know, kind of moving into the next phase of a normal life and having his family and stuff. But that's just kind of, you know, what I've heard from the people I know. But I know Alex and Getty will be heard from again. Absolutely. I mean, those guys are always talking about doing something.
Yeah, you know, I think what's going to happen, to be honest with you, I think they're going to do another album, and I think there'll be limited tours, you know, maybe 4 or 5 nights in Toronto and maybe Chicago or L.A. or something like that. And I think it'll be a really limited tour.
I hope you're right.
I think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to see something like that. I mean, they could even do residency in Vegas, but I don't think they're into that either. So,
no.
Please, no.
Yeah, it works for some bands, you know, and some bands it does not, you know. So,
the beauty of this being called the Travis Larson Band is, as much as we love Dale, when
sure.
his body falls apart, we're just going to have to figure out some sort of, like, TLB fund for him, and we're going to keep going.
Nice. All right. My guests tonight, Travis Larson and Jennifer Young from the Travis Larson Band. Thank you so much. But before we go, why don't you pick one more off Annika, and we'll play it on the way out here. What do you think?
I'm going to say song track 7, Outside the Inn, is a really different one. It sounds that was kind of our influence of maybe like something that the earlier Genesis would do. kind of, you know, definitely the Phil Collins on drums kind of counterpointy, funky side. But to me, that sounds like something that I would have wanted to hear Genesis play back in the day.
Nice. Well, thanks so much, you guys. And one more thing here before you go here. I do want to invite both of you or one of you, whichever wants to come on, to our Christmas show. It's going to happen December 15th. And all you have to do is call in with a great Christmas story and wish all the peeps Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and go on. Just take a couple minutes. But we want the funniest Christmas story that you can come up with.
December 15th.
Yeah, well, I'll send you something then, and we'll let you guys know.
I'm writing it on my calendar.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Last year we had Logan Raskin on, and he talked about getting stuck in a chimney, and his dad had to break him out of the chimney, and he broke his arm in the meantime here. It was great. The best story ever. You had to hear it. He was 7 years old. It was a classic. So we do that. Man. We've got some guys already in the can. I'm trying to get Jeff Scott Soto on the show. He said he would. I've got something from James Young from Styx and just, you know, some stuff I've recorded, but we're going to try to get as many people as we can to come on and have some fun.
Those guys have their own Santa Claus. We have our own Santa Claus.
Who's your own Santa Claus?
Yeah, if you dig deep on our Facebook photo archives, we actually have a Santa Claus with a TLB shirt on who it's actually a good friend of ours who I know is listening right now because he texted me about 30 minutes ago.
Nice.
And He was Santa Claus in San Francisco for many years, and he is has also crewed for us. And so he was like our personal TLB Santa Claus.
Nice. Okay. Well, we'll hopefully catch you guys later in December. Have a great tour. We'll be looking forward to you at the NAMM show, and let's keep in touch.
Thanks so much, Eric.
Hey, thanks so much for coming on.
Like this, and thanks for covering this kind of music. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. We do all kinds of guys on this show, a lot of instrumental folks. So you guys, you're right at home here anytime. Take care.
Appreciate it.
A good night. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. All right. There they go. Jennifer and Travis from the Travis Larson Band. Thanks to them for coming on. Let's do another one from Annika. And this one is called Outside the Inn. And you are listening to the Now and Then Show on KMEZ. You're listening to KMEZ Turner, 88.5, 100.7 on your FM dial. And we're streaming at kmuz.org. You can use your TuneIn app, too, on your smartphone or tablet to check us out. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Rock and Roll Show. Eric Gessner with you. My thanks so much to Jennifer Young and Travis Larson of the Travis Larson Band. Had a great time with those guys. But we roll on into Hour 2 here. This is new from Joe Bonamassa, something called Mountain Climbing, and you are listening to the Now and Then Show on KMEZ.